Greetings, radio friends. We're happy to come to you once again. It's a great blessing to us to preach the Word of God and to hope and trust that it'll be a blessing to you as you hear it and as you receive it. And may God's peace and grace be multiplied to you abundantly through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. This program is sponsored by the Church of God of Resurrection Hope, a Church of God of Abrahamic Faith, headquarters in Oregon, Illinois. John in Revelation 14 and 6 said, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. As we study this, we find, first of all, an angel in the book of Revelation many times has the meaning of messenger or an agent who is sent by divine authority to give a message to people. Perhaps certain one persons, and then again, just specific people or whole groups. Thus, we need to realize that this angel, however, was flying in the midst of heaven. The word fly means to expand the wings. Midst of heaven can be found to be exactly where the area is, because in Revelation 19 and 17, we find another angel says to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, the same Greek phrase and word. So this angel will preach in the area where the fowls fly, or in the atmosphere of this world. The flying or expanding of the wings shows that the message is to be one that will be given rapidly, and though it goes through the midst of the heavens where the fowls fly, it is a message to them that dwell on the earth, that is, to every living human being on this globe. He verifies this by saying to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. We could say, since he said to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, what was the need to add to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people? Well, it's a twofold invitation. First is to all that dwell on the earth, and secondly, to bring it down to a more personal basis, he brings it to nations, for some are so fond of their nation and the religion of their nation that they would reject anything unless it's addressed directly to them. Kindred, some kindreds are so proud of their religious heritage, but then religious heritage does not save. So this message is directed to the kindreds of the earth, first to all the earth, then to every nation, and then to kindreds, and finally to every tongue. Now, there are many tongues, and this word tongue comes from a word that means specifically languages. So this will include to people of every language. Now, we know that any language is not able to save you, so the message comes directly to you as a human being, to your nationality, to your kindred, and to your language of your people. The impact of this messenger is found in one great verse in the Bible, the 7th verse, saying, with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to Him. This means that out of all religions, nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, that there is one God whom all should fear and give glory to. This has been done in times past. In Nehemiah 9 and 2, we find that the Levites had people to stand up and bless the Lord their God forever and ever, and say, Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram, and give him the name of Abraham, and madest a covenant with him. Many things they said at that worship service, and all of the times it was Thou, the one, the only true and living God, to whom they addressed themselves. Psalms 146 and 5, Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all things that are therein, which keepeth truth forever. Again in Isaiah 44 and 2, Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Who also said in Isaiah 43 and 10, Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Again, he says in Isaiah 45:21, There is no God else besides me, a just God and a Savior, and there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And to really put the truth before the whole world, he said in the very next sentence, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. You can be sure that once God has said it, that it has to come to pass. You can believe it because it's truth. There are some important things to note here. This God said, I, one singular, made all things. He said, I stretched forth the heavens alone. He said, I spread abroad the earth by myself. He says that you may know and believe me one singular, and understand that I am he, not three, but he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. There is no God else beside me. I have sworn by myself. Now, if we are wanting the truth, and we really want to hear the message to each one of us, it is given as a solemn warning, and we had better fear this one true and living God. We are to give glory to him instead of the many gods of the nations, of the kindreds, of the tongues, and of the people, because the hour of his judgment is come. He's going to pass judgment on all the worshipers of other gods, for truly our Creator is a jealous God. So the whole world is suddenly and surely commanded to worship him, not them, but him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains of waters. Jesus our Lord, the Son of this God we're preaching to you about, said in John 17:3, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Worship him should tell us something. Hebrews 11:6 says, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." John 4:3 says, "Must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now we can miss this message and the importance of it, for with the preaching of this message and with this unique message brings another angel which follows the first and announces the fall of Babylon. What is Babylon? Before we go into Babylon, let me remind you, you can see that the need of this message of this angel with the everlasting gospel of the one true and living God, having the everlasting gospel because it is truth, will abide for all ages, while all other gospels will be destroyed and pass away. The reason again for this messenger is because Babylon had become so strong and had peoples, multitudes, tongues, and nations all worshiping all kinds of gods and giving glory to pluralities of gods, and God's judgment on Babylon has to come. You can only worship God and give glory to him in spirit and in truth when you know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Any other god or gods is but to disobey the everlasting gospel. Let us study for a little how other gods came into the picture. Baal is the supreme male divinity of the Phoenician and Canaanite nations. We need not hesitate to regard Babylonian Baal or Belus as essentially identical with Baal. Ancient Babylon was the capital of the plain of Shinar in Genesis 10:10. We'll find this, and it was built about 2600 before Christ. Baal was their god. Even when the Babylonians came to Jerusalem and took the Jews captive, they took Daniel, and because he's well favored of God, they named him Belteshazzar, meaning favored by Baal. The grandson of Nebuchadnezzar was Belshazzar, our prince of Baal by translation. And even with the experiences of the fiery furnace, the deliverance of the Hebrew children, and the deliverance of Daniel from the lion's den, and with the handwriting on the wall, we find that these ancient people, as a nation, as a religion, could not find it in their heart to fear the true and living God and worship him that created these things. His glory they gave to man-made gods. The natural Babylon took the vessels of the Lord's house, carried them away into Babylon. When they saw the handwriting on the wall, they were using right then those vessels dedicated to the service of the true and living God to make everyone drunk. Now, to understand the spiritual Babylon of Revelation, we'll have to understand the natural Babylon, some of the related prophecies. Let us note the message of the angel about Babylon, why she has fallen, Revelation 14:8, because she hath made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. It is not her wrath, but the wine of fornication which she made all nations to drink, which will bring the wrath of God to those who drink it, and to those who reject the everlasting gospel. We find that this Babylon had to do with spiritual Babylon, it is evident, for the natural Babylon was no longer a threat to the truth about God when John wrote this. It had fallen. But just as theology and religion of the Babylonians swept out to every nation, and men divined by the stars, by horoscopes, and used objects of worship as being sacred, so spiritual Babylon is to offer the wine of fornication of God and of gods not known scripturally, and to make the whole world drunk with her teachings. Today, you can read your horoscope, or you can find out so much about how you came to be here and where you're going by the ancient influences of the natural Babylon. But let us turn to Revelation 17. We find that one of the seven angels came and talked with John and said, "Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk. You see, this is the great mystic Babylon. Now, this is God's judgment upon this woman. She's a great harlot. She sits upon many waters. The kings of the earth, that is, nations, have committed fornication with her, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, we're given many facts by John that should waken us to the truth about this woman, modern Babylon, that's to fall and feel the mighty judgment of our God. For John said in Revelation 17:18, "The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." This woman has a golden cup in her hand, is full of filth. It is from the cup that the inhabitants of the world are made drunk. It is of great importance that we realize anything that comes out of this cup is abominable and is error and is the wine that makes one drunk. It's a spiritual wine. It's doctrines. Isaiah said in Isaiah 29:9, "They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. They do not understand the word of God simply because they have drunk the cup of the fornication of the harlot." Next Sunday, I hope to give more on this, and I hope that by then you can give me the chapter and verse of such phrases as immortal, never dying soul, burned forever and ever, spoken of by the wicked. He or she is gone to heaven to be an angel, Trinity, preexistence of Christ, God incarnated, Mother of God. Friends, the handwriting of God is on the wall of religions today because many worship not Him, but a plurality of gods which is called them, which is just as heathen as the Babylonians of long ago. The devil's hell, and hell will last as long as heaven, is often a spoken phrase of those who know nothing about the true and living God, but who have been given the filth of the cup of the great spiritual Babylon. Now, we will come to Babylon next week, the Lord willing, and then we will come to the smoke of their torment ascending up forever the following week. Until then, may God bless you as we pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you and praise you for the privilege to witness for thy truth and for the great message that must go out to all men to fear thee from every kindred, tongue, nation, and people, and that men may turn from man-made religions to serve and to glorify the true and living God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. We pray that you would open the minds and the hearts of people that they might seek to know and understand and comprehend the glorious truth about thee, the true and living God, and what Babylon is, and then about the mark of the beast, and about the glorious smoke of their torment ascending up forever. I say glorious because it is a wonderful thing when we understand it by thy truth. We pray thy blessings upon all today. In Jesus' name, amen.